church.
Well, what is a church?
A church means many different things.
It's doctrine.
And quite frankly, it's... sometimes they even think, well, there's no other church but that church. You know, everything else may have the sign church on it, but to a denominationalist, that's what a church is. One that aligns and adheres to their system. Now, on the other hand, to a Bible student or to a Bible scholar, church is really a different thing. Because church has nothing to do with a building. It comes from the word ekklesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A in the Greek. Made up of two Greek words. Ek. Ek being to go out completely. It can even mean completeness, which means to completely be out of. Out, we might say. And kalthia, the other word that it's made from, is called. It's a very important word. Called. And then when you put both of those words with the rest, the other Greek character, you have called out once. Now, there's no way that you can say called out ones represent two befores or sticks or bricks. It just doesn't fit. Won't fly at all. Can't even get it off the ground. It simply means God's called out ones. Now, the reason I'm doing this is many people use, and I receive this question from television two or three times a week about the fact the church is not mentioned in the book of Revelation past chapter 3, therefore documenting the fact they have gone in the rapture. So we want to address that a little bit, but not for that specific purpose. While we're at it, let's bone up on actually what did God consider a church to be while we're doing this same thing. Now, to play word games and to say the church is not mentioned in the book of Revelation past chapter 3, that alone tells you how that they're not very good readers, because it's church is mentioned in the 22nd chapter, right in the closing chapter of Revelation. So something doesn't quite fly. But actually, if we take books that church is not mentioned in, excluding the Old Testament and looking at only the New, let's say you got Mark, Luke, John, church isn't mentioned in those Gospels. And other than a title, the book of Peter, first and second, other than as a title, it's not mentioned there. It's not mentioned in the first two epistles of John. No church. So are we to use an argument so phony as to say because the church isn't mentioned in Mark, Luke, John, the epistles of John, the first two, in the books of Peter, even in Timothy, in one or the other, it escapes me at the moment, that the church doesn't apply to them? Of course not. In other words, there's no validity to the argument in the first place, and you feel a little foolish even trying to answer it. So, there again, that's why we're going to gain a little knowledge as we go along, so that we know in our own hearts and minds what consists of a church. Ekklesia, in the Greek tongue. Called out ones. Now, what would that consist of? God does the calling, and they must be called by Him, and they are the church. Now, to a scholar, that's what the word means. It has nothing to do with some system put together by men, because if we were to say, let's see, how can I don't, I, you know my practice of never mentioning a denomination, so I'm going to say we have Mesopotamian church, all right? It's a large denomination. Well, did Mesopotamia call them out, or what's that name doing there? What, really? There's only one. Did God call them, or did that group, you know, whatever they call themselves, call them? Do you understand how I'm saying their very title is a little bit confusing as to who's calling who or who's kidding who or what, just exactly what's going on? I'm not making light of them, okay? Though it's tempting, but I won't, all right? Called out ones by God Himself, let's document it from the Word of God. Again, there is no validity whatsoever in because a word is not used in the English language necessarily that it still not does not apply in the Greek or the Hebrew as far as that goes. Because I want you to absorb one thing. The church always has been. It was in the garden. The church was in the very formation of this earth age itself. Well, how can you say that? God calls the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the Son, and move upon them. That was the head of the church, quite frankly, that moved. So, we'll find out also that the church was in the wilderness when Moses was called out. Why? He was a called out one. God called him. That makes him and the Father an assembly, and that's the church. Now, do we have other churches of the free will? And we could go on and on. In other words, when God calls out one of the ethnos, then you automatically think of Revelation 21 when those kings of the nations, ethnos in the Greek tongue, will even be in the eternity, the Gentiles there. They also are called out once. Now, many churches that set up within their own system, if you attend a building like this and that particular thing should go contrary to the Word of God, you'd better be very careful. Better be very, very careful. And you know, also, this earth is full of nitpickers, all right? This is one reason I don't like to mention denominations, because I would be accused of nitpicking, probably. And nitpicking is an adult that takes something that shouldn't bother a child and takes it very serious. You know, we're all different people. And if this person wants to fry their eggs, or let's find another subject. If this person wants to part his hair this way or that way, what difference does it make to you? If that makes his dear soul happy, be happy for him. Don't nitpick at him over the way he pulls his cotton sack over his shoulder or the way he does this or whatever. That's not important. Pay attention to the important things that are important to the Father, and don't be childish. And unfortunately, churches at times can be very childish. I'm not judging them, but as you study your Father's Word and the sincerity in which He teaches do we have a piano in the church or do we not? Well, maybe I could bring my juice harp if we didn't have one. Is it not juice harp? It's a Jew's harp. Well, mine gets to be juice harp sometimes. You know, so that's why I was never a musician. And so anyway, we can get wrapped up in such trivia when we have a really wonderful Word of God to teach. Okay, so let's go to the Word. Inasmuch as we know now, ek. I think Frank and Becky just blew in from Minnesota. they had a little weather, and maybe they're proud to be here. Okay. Ek, being out completely, and the very important thought, klesia, out called ones. That's important that you know God does the calling. Let's document it from His Word. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew being the only one of the Gospels in which the word church is even mentioned. As the word we call church, or as it would be in German, Kirch. Right? But there is still, we have the word used, called out ones, all through God's Word. Okay, here we go. Let's start, if we may, with verse 13 of the 16th chapter of Matthew. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, or Caesarea, whichever you prefer, Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and are one of the prophets." 15, He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am? Who are you calling me?" Verse 16, And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is very accurate. Why? Verse 17, And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon." What does the word Simon mean in the Hebrew? Hearing. Barjona, which is to say, son of the dove. And that dove is always symbolic, if you would, of the Holy Spirit. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Now, the thought I want you to have in your mind is, who told Peter to say that? All right? Was Peter in control? Flesh and blood, which means Peter was flesh and blood at this time, hath not done this, but my Father which is in heaven. When our Father speaks through an individual, that individual is not the one that made the choice of what we're about to read, but God caused him through the Holy Spirit to make that statement, being symbolic, if you would, even looking on to that day when Peter would accomplish what is about to be stated with 120 people on Pentecost Day, that they would, the Holy Spirit Himself would speak through. Okay, verse 18, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," ecclesia, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And when we read this word church, what is it in Greek? Ecclesia, which is to say, when I build my called out ones. When you read the word church, always get the meat and the meaning behind it. Don't, if you're not careful, many people in denominations think the church is a building. That is not true. A church house that is empty without one soul in it is not a church. Because to be a church, you must be a called out one, and there's nobody there. Now, it is nice and it is convenient to say yes down there at the church, whether if somebody's there, well, we don't want to go to that extent. But don't you let your mind trick you into thinking a building is anything. It isn't. God is saying, through this one Petra, Peter, which Peter means rock, all right? It's a movable rock. It's not the rock, Christ, who is the church, but He would use this one to establish the church, all right? The church being what, may I ask you again? Not a building. Called out ones. And volunteer doesn't really apply in this particular case. Called. Very important and very emphatic in the word church. Called out ones. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my called out ones. And I see some of his called out ones that old Satan gives them a little roughing up and it scares them to death. They really get shook up. Satan's on my case. Well, get him off. You have the Father with you, and that's no step for you. You're a called out one. The gates of hell, which means everything Satan has all wrapped up in one ball and throwing at you, cannot prevail against one of God's called out ones, if you really are. Because when you take the power and the authority that our Father has given you and exercise it, it's important, exercise it, Satan's not going to give you any problem. He'll try to catch you off guard sometime, but when he sees you turn your little old eyes on him and begin to concentrate at what you're fixing to do to him, to order him out in the power and the name, he's out of here, friend. He's afraid of you. Doesn't want any part of you. Because he knows what will happen. Because it is not your power that would dispel him, but our Father. So, God used, through this one, Simon Peter, Bar Jonah, son of the dove, meaning even if you would through the Holy Spirit, all right, would establish the called out ones. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, it would be a time in the book of Acts after this event came to pass. What event when we say this event? The establishing of the church, the called out ones. That there would be many that were bound. As an example, at this time, there were many in the graves that were considered prisoners that were bound because Christ had not yet paid the price on the cross, whereby repentance was in effect and valid. You could, through the law, give X number of sheep, goats, or this, that, or the other, but you would still mess up before dark anyway, if not before dark after. And you're in trouble again. But Christ, even while he was in the tomb, as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, went to those people that had died all the way back to the time of Noah, which means the beginning, and preached them the message of freedom, giving them and anyone that is a part of the church the keys to the kingdom. The key that unlocks and no man can close, and closes and no man can unlock. The keys to the kingdom is the truth, the power, and the authority that you possess. You are loaned from our Father when you become a part of those called out ones. And he does the calling. So, that's what it's all about. Could a building do this? I mean, could you ever for a moment imagine this old roller rink doing that? No, there's no power in this building other than if the called out ones are here to exercise the power God has given them as the church. So anytime, whether the word ecclesia or God's elect or those he has called, anytime they are the subject, you're talking about God's church. All right? That's what God's church is, and that's why it's important for you to bear that in your mind, or you can fall in the same trap that so many can by simply visualizing that little white painted building up on the hill with the steeple. It's a church. No, it isn't. It's a building. It has no powers, else there be someone within it that has the courage and the gift and are called. And I don't care if it's from the preacher down all the way down to the janitor, and the janitor's not at the bottom, but I'll just use that range, okay? Who's at the bottom? Well, we don't care. Nobody's at the bottom, okay? But what my saying, my meaning is this. I like to got all of us men in trouble, I'll tell you for sure, right there. The Irish playing tough games here this morning. That anyone that is a called out one can exercise that power. Many people say, well, I'd like to be baptized if I could find a preacher. You don't need a preacher. A preacher is to preach the Word of God. Any Christian can baptize another Christian. I'm just saying people get all, you know, they... Well, there's one man. He's a man of God. Well, if you're a member of God of church, you're a man or a woman of God. Just as much as that person is. Well, he has special gifts. Not any more than you do. Have you ever seen really a gifted janitor? Boy, you can tell. I mean, he keeps the place where the ecclesia gather together shining, all right? We all have our gifts, and in God's eye, one is as important as the other. We're all one body, and there ain't no part of that body gets any more than the rest. It's all the same. So, Bill, let's recap. Jesus said, this man's going to establish my called out ones. The Holy Spirit, he didn't speak it. It wasn't him, but our Heavenly Father called him to do this and has actually given him, now think about this and absorb it, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Wow! That's something, friend. And you possess that as one of his called out ones wherever you go. That is power because you're royalty in the king's house. Which is his house, his body, the called out ones. Okay, let's go to the book of Acts where Peter actually accomplished this. The main thing I wanted you to absorb from that, it was not Peter that decided to name Christ as the Son of God, he that would establish the church, but the Holy Spirit, meaning ecclesia, called. God does the calling. Now, a person can open their mind and heart and be cultivated by called out ones whereby they hear the truth, know the truth, and are well cultivated whereby when a seed is planted, that when God calls, they answer. They know. It touches their soul, their spirit. And they know God has called me. And don't ever get hooked at the same time. I'm doing a little side teaching as I go through here because I know through counseling many of the things. Some people say, I really want to do something important for God. And I can almost laugh when they say that, when I know the beautiful person and what they're already doing. I don't care if it's planting one seed. Don't you think that person you planted it to is one of the most important things in the world? The child of God? It's important. I don't care what it is that you do for the Father. It's extremely important. So don't ever let anyone put you on a trip like that there's only one way you can serve God and that's, well, I should be like brother so-and-so. No, you shouldn't. Don't you try to work in your brother's gifts, all right? It might be like me. I'm going to be Dr. Smith for today and I'm going to lead you all in singing. Oh, you poor people. What a mess that would be. All right? Dr. Cornwell, rather. I'm sorry, Dr. Cornwell. But you can't use another man's gift. It's not yours. But you've got your own. And oh, how you shine when you use it. You're a guaranteed success. I don't care if some jaybird you plant a seed with, he says, I don't believe that. Well, let him stick around. Someday when you're delivered up before God, they're going to say, hey, that child of God knew exactly what they were talking about, and I'm getting out of this mess. And they come out because you were a prophet in as much as you stated it would come to pass before. Because you were a prophet in as much as you stated it would come to pass before it did. And they know it. So, Don't ever underestimate yourself when you're in the service of the King. It's important. Okay, we're going to go to the book of Acts. Let's just cover when it happened. Verse 15 of chapter 1, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. And certainly they were called out ones, and even though they're not called the church here, there is where it was established. They chose again the 12 elders, and the 12th one rather, after Judas had taken his life. And what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke through the church on Pentecost Day. You're all familiar with that. But I want you to go to the last verse of chapter 2. I mean, things are really cooking, and it always does when the Holy Spirit is the one that does the cooking. All right? Many of them, praising God, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord, I want to repeat that, and the Lord added to the church, ecclesia, the called out ones, not the little building, not the tent on the corner down there, to the church daily, such, uh-oh, there's a qualifier, such as should be saved. Oh my, what does that mean? Well, those that believed, of course, and they would fall into that part of the called out ones, whichever they fit. But the important thing is, who? Please don't ever forget this. I don't care what position you have in the church. You don't add to the church. You don't add, I'll use the Greek letter, iota. God adds to the church. Why? If they're not called by Him, they're not part of the church. Because the church doesn't mean a frame building. I'm going to be repeating that, and you'll probably get tired of it, but it's time to get your mind anchored in what a church is, and it's been advertised too many years, and you that even know better, you slip into that sleep of saying, yeah, it's the church right there. It's not. It's you. God calls. And the church, the people, wherever you are, whether you're in this building or in a shanty back out back, you're a called out one. Always on duty if the opportunity prevails. Do you understand what I mean by that? That if God opens an opportunity for you to plant a seed. He doesn't like fanatics. He doesn't want people to stand on a street corner and say, God loves you. Okay. That's not a message. That's just a statement of fact. And most everybody already knows that. All right? And if you're going to deliver a message, let it be potent and powerful. All right? So, what did I want to document in that verse? I wanted to nail it down good. Man does not add to the church. And my friend, I'm going to do a little nitpicking. Excuse me, Father. Break my own rules and regulations. You cannot add to the church by an ice cream social. You cannot add to the church by giving away numbers that door prizes. Numbers that door prizes. I've even known churches that would put a $5 bill under a chair to try to draw people into the church to fill the house. You, man, does not add to the church. All you've got in your church then is a bunch of troublemakers, and I guarantee you there's going to be trouble. Leave it in God's hands. You know, I have a policy, and there are people that leave this church, and I don't know, maybe they may even be offended at times. I will never write them a letter. I will never visit them and say, what happened to you? Because you see, beloved, I know my Father's in control. And He's doing something with that person. May just be getting them out of my hair. And that's wonderful, you know. I don't have any problem with it. That's what I'm saying. I didn't mean that to sound facetious or anything. I know that God's in control, and I believe what I preach. I really do. Trust me. I believe it with all my heart. God has a purpose for everybody, and if you think this boy is going to get in his way, you got another thing coming. When you begin to manipulate people, rather than allowing our Father to, you're piling up you a mess of grief. Mess of grief. God will align people and they will be happy. When man manipulates people and tries to align them, I guarantee you, you will have problems. And they very likely will not be happy. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 7. God does the calling. That's my point. To those who should be. I hope that all of you, when that word should be, your mind goes back to election, even that happened before the foundations of the earth and so forth. Acts chapter 7, oh, what a beautiful chapter. Old Stephen is preaching one of my favorite sermons in the whole Bible. If you ever wanted a recap of what happened, Stephen said it. Boom! It cost him his life, but he got it said. All right. Let's go with verse 37. You know what's happened. This is talking about Moses. All the troubles that happened in Egypt, the miracles that were performed, they were freed, they crossed the Red Sea. Verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Just going to be like me. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. Verse 38, this is he that was in the church. What's that word again? That little church in the wilderness? Yes, there it was. Little steeple and all lined right out there in the Sinai. Just as pretty as it could be. Little church. Well, isn't that wonderful? That's not what it means. There were called out ones there. Always has been. The church has been since the beginning. It is not a building, all right? The church in the wilderness with the angel. Oh, it was an angel church. Oh, I'd like to visit someday. Oh, you will, okay? Which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Of course, the commandments. Let's continue on. I want you to see our people. And I want you to make sure that you never fall into this trap. To whom our fathers would not obey. Ornery, stiff-necked, stubborn critters wouldn't listen. But thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Oh, we had nice services in Egypt. Main thing was, after we had our service, we got to fill our tummies. We had food. Old Pharaoh sit up there, and he was such a strong figure. We had safety from the Babylonians as long as Pharaoh was in power. We're not half the troubles. Okay? 40. Saying unto Aaron, this is where it comes. We're going to make another church. You ever belong to one like this? Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. He's gone. He disappeared. Moses is up on the mountaintop, and the lightning is lightning, and the bush is burning, and the spirit is moving. And these clucks can't wait on God. Let's do something religious and make a new denomination. Something that'll really fetch them. Something exciting and vivacious. God does the calling. Or you don't have a church. You know what happened when Moses came back down off that mountain with those lively oracles? He threw them, and they broke. And the Spirit of God moved down, and hundreds died. Beloved, they were already spiritually dead. Or they wouldn't have been asking for something else to worship other than God Himself. don't play church house. It'll get you in trouble. It's false. It's fake. It's not from God's Word. To a student or a scholar of God's Word, a church can only be and only have one meaning. And that is the called out ones doing their duty to serve the living God. To have fellowship like we're having here this morning, this is beautiful. You know, I see the smiling faces and my spirit touches your spirit and that fellowship just, it just makes me feel so good, you know. But that's frosting on the cake. We're also doing our Lord's business that we're studying His Word whereby we can be a blessing to those we come in contact with, for one that is hurting, to say, don't you know that God could call you? That He could touch you? You're not alone. What are you afraid of? Here, let me hold you up. You know, gathering strength. That's what church is. Is God's called out ones being about our Father's business, whatever that might be. Whether it's in your work, your play, or wherever, when the opportunity prevails, when opportunity knocks, it's Christ knocking on the door of some soul's heart. He's not begging. God's not begging. But He might be calling, and they might take that opportunity. How beautiful it is. Now, don't play church and pass off some system, some ritual, as God's service, as God's church service. It's God's Word that is His service. Always remember that. Never consider in your mind and heart a building as God's church. It is not. It won't fly. It will not get off the ground. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And so we're going to sum this up in the great book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 has been the letter to the seven churches. And as you all well know, there's only two of those seven churches that Christ said, you're all right in my book. And as I have said many times, I have difficulty understanding how people have trouble deciding which church to go to. It's laid out for you, Smyrna and Philadelphia. And if you're attending a church that doesn't align with those things that they were accommodated for, or that God, He gave them a flower. He said, I'm proud of you for doing this and maintaining it. If you're not doing that, you're really not in a true church. That's to say, a body of called out ones, because you're not in good standing with our Father. Be that as it may. But He's finished talking with the churches, and this is where most people think that the church departs. So I wanted to go to this. He's just talked to these churches. As a matter of fact, he's still talking to the church of Philadelphia, which has the keys to David that unlocks doors and doesn't close them, which means you're called out. You have the keys to the kingdom, and they work for you. All right? But what is this hour of temptation in verse 10? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. This is the church of Philadelphia. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. What is that hour of temptation? You'll find it in Revelation 17 when Antichrist is turned loose upon this period, for this period of 1 hour, which is most likely a 5-month period. If He's going to let you escape it, does that mean He's going to zoom you out of here? Well, let's read on. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all, not part, all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, the fact that Satan comes in that hour and deceives all of the people on earth except those that have the seal of God in their forehead. All right? What is temptation? It means that something is tempting you. Sometimes we can find our own weaknesses by knowing what things tempt us. Sometimes we can find out what maybe we should... I mean, you're walking down the street and you go by, like I used to when I was a child, Woolworth. And they had these big plates that turned, and there was chocolate all over. I mean, just turning candies. I mean, on every little wheel that turned was more chocolate candy. And it was just begging me, you know, come in and fill up. Well, things do have a way of getting your attention. And that's a temptation. Now, there's nothing wrong. I guess there's nothing wrong if you like a carob, all right, you know, chocolate maybe. If you do things in a balanced way, you know, sometimes many things that are taught to be a sin are not really a sin if you know how to handle yourself, you know, if you get tough with yourself. And the word discipline. Discipline yourself. And you control it. Well, what is temptation? It means you're going to be tempted. Well, what with? Oh, you haven't heard? Satan was the most beautiful of the archangels, and when he speaks, he makes sense. And not only does he make sense, he performs miracles that are awesome. Lightning coming down from heaven in the sight of men, and they're going crazy over him. It's God! Will that be tempting to you? It won't to me. I said, why you show off. You know, you really think you've got something and you're deceiving our brothers and our sisters. It won't be tempting. You escape it. Why? Well, if we were to take time to go through Revelation 7, we'd know why. There are a lot of people sealed, not only of God's elect right now, but those that won't later, but you'll find your answer in chapter 9, verse 4. And it was commanded then that Satan's on earth here. His name is Apollyon, which is the base root of his name in Greek, and Abaddon, which is the destroyer in the Hebrew tongue. And he's leading his army of locusts, which is to say his allies, against the children of God. And it was commanded them, that's to say his locust army and Satan himself, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. And they can't drop an atomic bomb, you got it? Satan is not permitted to destroy any part of God's green earth. It's not going to be changed. That's why you have my tape titled, There Shall Be No Nuclear Holocaust, and that was made a long time ago when a lot of people thought there would be. All right? Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now, we've still got some people on earth here at this time that's got God's seal in their forehead, which means they know the truth. And Mark 13 and Matthew 24 goes on and on about how even God's elect would be deceived if God hadn't shortened the days. He did shorten them. And it's impossible for one of God's elect to be tempted. But Satan, my point is this, of the called out ones, God is in control. They are in control, and Satan cannot harm them, can't touch them. And what would we say if the church was gone? What about the two witnesses? They're part of the church. What does church mean? The called out ones. If there were ever two individuals that were called out, it's the two witnesses. And I guarantee you, as long as they are on earth, then also the church shall be. You see, what my point and why I'm saying this, most people don't know what a church is. And they would be very offended if you were to say that to them, so don't just be quite that blunt. I have special privileges, okay? I don't care whether I heard them or not sometimes, and maybe that's a bad trait I have.
I don't know. Be that as it may, doesn't make me any difference, okay? Just, I suppose I like to make truth known. But they really don't. They go to church, but they don't know what it is. It's the little building. Grandpa went there and Grandma went there. My parents went there, and by Jove, as long as I go to church, I'll be going there. Well, they kind of, it loses a great deal in the translation, and unfortunately, that's what happens to a lot of us. We lose a lot of things in the in the translation. Wow. And you miss the point. Okay. Let's close it. Let's go, if we may, to the 22nd chapter. Naturally, they're going to tell you, you're going to have the argument put to you, where is the church taken up? They're going to tell you, right here it is in chapter 4, verse 1. And my friend, I'll take the youngest student in this room, and if they can't read that and decide it's John he's talking to instead of the church, I'd be so disappointed I'd probably cry, you know. Any child can read it and know it's not talking to the church. Okay, now where are we going here? We're going to 22, and we're going to read the 16th verse. And really open your minds now. Ecclesia, God's called out ones. And 22:16 reads, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. Now hold it a minute. What things? These things recorded in this book of Revelation. All right? And the rest also, but primarily right here, the revelation, which means to unveil in the Greek tongue or any other tongue you want to translate it in. To make known these things. That's the book of Revelation. In the churches. Is the book of Revelation supposed to be taught in the churches then? Well, I would hope so. That's what it says, and it's made very, very clear. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. What was this angel? I want you to get the verb in this. What was this angel to do in the churches? Testify. Teach. That's what it means. The things written in the book of Revelation. God's church is written throughout the Word of God. Don't anyone try to tell me the church isn't mentioned in the book of Mark, even though it's not there, as we say the word church in English. But wherever you have God's called out ones, Moses in the wilderness was a church, a part of that church, wherever you go. So, don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise, my friends. To a Bible student, a church is a little different than some people make it to be. I love every church in this nation as long as it tries to teach Christ. Now, if it's going to teach the devil, I don't love it, all right? I'll tell you right now, I would be against it 100%. But I believe we should try to protect the churches as best we could. But I'll tell you this. It does not necessarily mean because they call themselves a church that they are. Okay? They're trying. They're our brothers, and I love them for it. Our sisters, I love them for it. And I'm going to tell you something. Except that God called you and gave you an open mind whereby you could hear His scriptures, you'd still be there. I would still be there. So don't look down on them. And don't talk against them. Pray for them. And be about your Father's business. God will establish His own church. And He will use you to accomplish it. All of us. God adds to the church, and His servants do His work. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for being with us this day. Continue giving us those words of wisdom through Thy Holy Spirit. We'll be careful to give You the thanks for it. In Jesus' name.